After discussing the prohibition of offering karbonis outside of the Beis HaMikdash at length, the Mishnais have moved on to discuss the historical background and the times where it was actually permitted to offer karbonis outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's important to emphasize that even during the periods of time where it was permitted to offer up a karbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that only applies to voluntary karbonis, but a karbon which one is obligated to bring, he would need to bring that on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash or in the Mishkan, because such a karbon cannot be offered up on a private Mizbeach. Now, the correct term for these Mizbeaches which we are talking about, these altars, is that the Mizbeach which stood in the Mishkan, it wasn't a totally fixed structure like that which was in the Beis HaMikdash. This altar which was in the Mishkan was called a boma gedoila, literally a great boma, which is a word for an altar, whereas a private mizbeach, which one could build in their own property and use it as their own private mizbeach, that is called a boma katana, a smaller, a more minor altar. Now, so far, the previous two Mishnais have told us that before the Mishkan was set up at the beginning in the Midbar, one was permitted to offer up voluntary karbonos on a boma katana, a private mizbeach. However, as long as there was the Mishkan during the time, the 40 years they were in the desert, once the Mishkan was set up, it was forbidden to offer up karbonos outside of the Mishkan. The next stage was when the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, and during the first 14 years where they were conquering and sharing out the land of Eretz Yisrael, the Mishkan stood in Gilgal, and it was permitted for one to offer up voluntary karbonos on a private mizbeach. The next stage was Bo'ul Shiloh. They came to Shiloh, and the Mishkan was set up in Shiloh. And the truth is that although until now the Mishkan was a temporary structure, once they brought it to Shiloh, they now built a real building of stone, and the Mishkan stood here for 369 years. And as long as it was there, Ne'es Rabomais, the private mizbeches, the private altars were forbidden. And even voluntary karbonos one had to bring to the Mishkan and offer it up over there. The Torah, when talking about the idea of private mizbeches, of being able to offer up a karbon on one's own mizbeach outside of the Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash, the Torah says that it is permitted, ki loy bosem ad oto el hamenucho vel anachalo. Because you have not yet arrived to the menucha, the resting place, or to the nachala, the inheritance. The pasuk implies that once you reach the place called menucha, the resting place, or the inheritance, then it will be forbidden to offer karbonos on private altars, but until then it's permitted. And Mishnah is about to tell us that Shiloh was considered to be the resting place, and that is why it was forbidden once they arrived there to offer karbonos on private altars. Now, in Tanakh, when the Pesukim refer to this Mishkan which stood in Shiloh, there seems to be a contradiction. On the one hand, the Pesukim refer to it as a bayis, Beis Hashem, a house, a real building, which implies that it was a fixed structure. But on the other hand, elsewhere, the Pesukim refer to it as a Mishkan, which implies that it was temporary, just like the Mishkan which they had in the desert. It was a mobile structure, which could be taken apart and moved. The Pesukim use the same term to refer to this building in Shiloh. And we learn from this contradiction of sorts that it had the characteristics of both. On the one hand, Lo Hashom Tikra, there wasn't a roof, like a regular fixed building has a roof, Elo Bayis Shel Avonim Elmaton, rather it was a building made of stone at the bottom, meaning the structure was made of stone, however, V'Riyos Melamalon, there were cloths and sheets on top of it, draped over the top of the structure, instead of having a stone roof. The roof was a more of a temporary nature, just like the Mishkan. The He and the Mishkan, which stood in Shiloh, Hais Menucha, the place of Shiloh was called the resting place. That's what the Torah referred to when it says that you haven't yet arrived there, and therefore it's permitted, which implies that once you arrive there, it will be forbidden to offer any karbonis outside of this building. Now, kodje kodjim necholim fin akloim, any karbon in the category of karbonis which have a higher level of holiness. The meat of these karbonis is eaten by koyanim, and necholim fin akloim, the meat would need to be eaten within the curtains of the Mishkan. Whereas kodjim kalim, lower level karbonis. And now the Mishnah adds, Maiser sheni is a tenth of one's produce which he has to separate and bring up to the location where the Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash stood and eat it over there. And so obligation of Ma'aseh Sheni only began once the Jewish people had settled and conquered Eretz Israel. So once the Mishkan was set up in Shiloh, that was the first time where the obligation of Ma'aseh Sheni applied. And Ma'aseh Sheni needs to be eaten in the same within the same area as lower level korbanos. So where exactly is that? The area cannot be defined by the camp of the Jewish people. That is what the area was defined as when they were in the desert. But once they were all spread out in the entire Israel, what is this area defined by? B'chol ha-royeh, an area from where one is able to see the Mishkan. If you are within sight of the Mishkan, then you are able to eat the low-level korbanos and ma'aseh sheni in that location. And this is learnt from Pesukim. Mishnah Zayin, we earlier on brought the Pesuk that says that you are permitted to offer up korbanos on a private mizbeach, and the Torah says, Kiloi bosem ad ota la menucha velanachala. Because you have not yet come, you have not yet arrived to the menucha, the resting place, or to the nachala, to the inheritance. I mean, it's from the previous Mishnah that the menucha, the resting place, is referring to Shiloh. Now, if it was true that from the moment that they set up the Mishkan in Shiloh, from then onwards it was forbidden to offer up any korbanos on a private mizbeach, then the Torah would not need to add that you cannot, you're able to offer these korbanos until you reach Shiloh and El Nachla, the inheritance. The inheritance we're going to see is referring to Yerushalayim. The fact that the Torah says that you're able to bring these korbanos until you reach Shiloh and Yerushalayim. Well, why is the pasuk adding Yerushalayim? It must be that even after you arrived at Shiloh, there was another period of time where it once again became permitted to offer up korbanos outside of the Mishkan until we then reached Yerushalayim. And once we reached Yerushalayim, then it forever onwards became forbidden to offer up korbanos outside of the Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash. And that gives rise to the following next stage in the bringing of the Mishkan from place to place. After the Mishkan stood for 369 years in Shiloh, Bo L'Noiv, it then came to Noiv. Mishkan stood in Noiv for 13 years. Ola Givon then was brought to a place called Givon. It stood there for 44 years. So in total, it was in Noiv and Givon for 57 years. And during those 57 years, Hut Rabomais, it was permitted to offer up voluntary korbanos on a private mizbeach, kodshi kodshim ne'acholim nefrim ne'akloim. Higher level korbanos had to be eaten by male kohanim within the curtains of the Mishkan, and kodshim kalim, lower level korbanos, and the same would apply to ma'aseh sheni, even though the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Ma'aseh sheni being the tenth of one's produce, which he has to separate and bring up to the location of the Mishkan. Well, that's not really precise. The ma'aseh sheni needs to be eaten in the same area where low-level korbanos can be eaten. So at this stage, B'chol Ari Yisrael, they could be eaten in all of the cities of the Jewish people. They could be eaten in the entire Eretz Yisrael. And this is indeed learnt from Pesukim. Mishnah Ches, Boli Yerushalayim, then they came to Yerushalayim and set up the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. This was finally the fixed Beis HaMikdash. It didn't have to be mobile at all. They weren't planning on taking it anywhere. And this is what the Torah referred to as nachala, the inheritance, that once you reach the inheritance, then private altars would become forbidden forever. Ne'es rabomais. The private altars were forbidden, lo'holahem ed heter, and it would never again be permitted to offer up any korbanos outside of the mizbeach in the Beit HaMikdash. The hi hoisa nachla, and that is the nachala, the inheritance, which the Torah referred to, that only until that point it would be permitted to offer korbanos outside of the Beit HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, the equivalent. And once the Beit HaMikdash was set up, kodshi kodshim ne'acholim nefrim ne'akloim, high-level korbanos had to be eaten within the curtains of the Beit HaMikdash. The truth is, it was no longer curtains. Now it was real walls. The point is, it had to be eaten within the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash, and kodshim kalim u'maiser sheni, lower-level korbanos, and the tenth of one's produce, which he has to separate and bring up to the place of the Beit HaMikdash, nefrim ne'achoyma, those need to be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. So if we summarize the history of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, and when it was permitted to offer voluntary korbanos outside of the Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash, there are really six stages. Stage one is before the Mishkan was set up. It was permitted to offer korbanos on private mizbeches, private altars. For the 40 years that the Mishkan was in the desert, before they entered Eretz Israel, it was forbidden. when I had to bring all of these korbanos only in the Mizbeach in the Mishkan. Stage 3, the Mishkan was in Gilgal, the first place where they came to in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishkan was there for 14 years, and it was permitted to offer korbanos outside. Stage 4, Shiloh, the Mishkan was there for 369 years, and it was forbidden to offer korbanos outside of the Mishkan. Stage 5 was when it was in Noiv and Givon for 57 years in total, and then it was permitted to offer korbanos outside. And stage 6 is once the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, from then onwards it was forbidden to offer up any korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and it was no longer permitted to offer anything on a private mizbeach. Mishatez, kol ha-kodshim she'ekdishon b'shas isra b'mois. Any korban which one designated as a korban during the a period of time where it was forbidden to offer any korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about a voluntary korban. He designated an animal to be his voluntary korban. For example, when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, and during that period it was forbidden to offer up this voluntary korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And at that time, that is when he designated his korban. And whilst the Mishkan was still in Shiloh, it was still forbidden to offer up any korban outside, and he offered up that korban outside of the Mishkan at a time where it was still forbidden to offer any korban outside of the Mishkan or Beis HaMikdash. Har Eilu Ba'aseh, he would violate a positive commandment. The Torah says that there's a mitzvah to bring your korbanos to the place of the Mishkan, to the Beis HaMikdash. If one offers them up elsewhere, he is not fulfilling that positive commandment. He's really violating that commandment. And he also transgresses a negative prohibition, which the Torah says explicitly that you are not allowed to offer korbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan. And one would be liable to the punishment of Kores for having offered up a korban outside of the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. Now what happens if Hikdishon b'shas heter b'mais? He designated the animal to be a korban at a time where it was permitted to offer voluntary korbanos outside of the Mishkan. For example, when the Mishkan was in Gilgal. And then, meanwhile, the Mishkan was transferred to Shiloh, and it became forbidden to offer this korban outside of Shiloh. Outside of the Mishkan in Shiloh. The Krivon b'shas heter b'mais, but he went ahead and he offered up the korban during this time where it was forbidden to offer up any korban outside of the Mishkan. So once again, he violates the positive mitzvah of only bringing the korban in the Mizbeach in the Mishkan, and he also violates the negative prohibition against offering up any korban outside. However, says the Mishnah, interestingly, he would not be liable to the punishment of Kores, even though he offered up a korban outside of the Mishkan, since at the time that he designated the korban, it was fitting to be offered up outside of the Mishkan. And this law is learnt from Pesukim. Now what happens if Hekdisham Shas Isra Bamos, he designated this animal to be brought as a korban during a period where it was forbidden to offer up any korban outside of the Mishkan, for example, when they were in Shiloh. And meanwhile, Shiloh was destroyed, they transferred the Mishkan to Noiv, and in Noiv it became permitted for one to offer up a voluntary korban outside of the Mishkan. The Hekrivon b'shas heter b'mais, and he offered up his korban during this period where it was permitted to offer the korban. He did so outside of the Mishkan. The Mishnah says, interestingly, Har Eilu Ba'aseh, he still violates the positive mitzvah of offering up the korban in the Mishkan specifically. Because at the time that he designated the korban, he became obligated to bring that korban to the Mishkan specifically. That positive mitzvah applied to him. And so even though later on it became possible to bring it outside of the Mishkan, he's already obligated, because of that positive mitzvah, to offer it up specifically within the Mishkan. And therefore he violates that positive mitzvah. The Ein Ben B'Leisaseh, however, he does not violate any negative prohibition against offering it up outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That is not intrinsically wrong, it's only because he already became obligated to bring it to the Mizbeach in the Mishkan.